बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत नारायण चरण तमाम देव सरस्वती व्यास जय मुझे रही है अष्टप्रायेश भद्रेश नित्यम भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Regarding the one last point regarding that empowerment by Krishna and disempowerment by Krishna, for the non-devotees, the disempowerment by the Lord is done in order to save them and save the world also from them. Because the non-devotees create like Hitler or Stalin or such kinds of people might have had a great power for some period of time and they created havoc, but they are used by the Lord as an agency of Durga in order to create destruction of those who have to be destroyed. But once the job is done, they are taken out of the scene, completely away. So the non-devotees have to be disempowered for the welfare of the world. So that is why aparevasu devasya devakyam yachitobhyaga ajastvam asya kshemaya vadhaya cha suradvisham. The word vadhaya, it says, the non-devotees are destroyed or killed. Therefore I told the story of that Punaha Mushika Bhava. So because they misuse the powers and potencies awarded by the Lord to them, so they have to be cut short. Otherwise they will create more and more damage, correct, no? So sometimes the Lord will act. Of course, Lord doesn't act for them. Who acts? Material energy. Material potency will take care of them. Lord is not directly connected to such non-devotees, is it? Material energy does it. Whereas in the case of devotees, there is a very great reason why Lord may empower a devotee and disempower a devotee. Because the Lord wants to attract the devotee to himself and to have loving exchanges with the devotee. And the Lord says, enough now. I brought you into this world for doing some business. The business is over. Come, let's play now. So let us have loving pastimes. Leaving these sweet pastimes, you don't have to, go on with your powers. That way the Lord feels that therefore this kind of things are done by the Lord only to his very advanced pure devotees who are very intimate with him, who will never misunderstand the Lord. For example, Parikshit Maharaj, he never can become angry. Prabhupada says 7 days, 7 nights he heard Bhagavatam without asking for water or food or sleep or rest also. He didn't even ask a 5 minute break also. 7 days, 7 minutes, 7 days, 7 nights, he heard. Such a person, how will he be thirsty for water? Okay, even if he was thirsty, he was highly civilized in behavior. With saintly persons, he was doubly civilized, dealing with them in very polite and respectful manner. Because of his words, which he spoke to Shukadeva Goswami, you can get an idea. He called himself as Rajyakulam, which is degraded, and he called Shukadeva Goswami as a Brahmakulam, who is exalted, and he was extremely grateful and thankful to not only Shukadeva Goswami but also to all the sages and saintly persons who had come. So Parikshit actually is a highly cultured personality. There is no question of him becoming angry on a sage and to add insult to injury to put a dead snake on the neck of Samyak Rishi. Just not possible, because he was impelled by the super soul in his heart to do that. Lord only impelled him, pushed him, hey, take it, put this dead snake around the neck of Samyak Rishi. And he did that. And on the way back, again the Lord in his heart spoke to him. Inspired him to become detached from the family and detached from the world. And then he even was welcoming a Brahmashap upon himself. And then someone came and informed him about the Brahmashap. And then immediately Parikshit, you know, took it up as an opportunity, golden opportunity to go to the bank of Ganga and meet Shukadeva Goswami and hear Bhagavatam and go back to Godhead, and leaving us with Srimad Bhagavatam now. So this was actually the goal of Krishna, to bring the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord actually wanted Parikshit to teach certain things to the world. How the Lord protects his devotees in the womb, as he protected Parikshit. And how the Lord's devotees are also very powerful like the Lord. They can subdue Kali. So Lord has shown that also. And the Lord wanted Parikshit, as an ideal representative of the Pandavas, to spread the Sankirtan all around in the end of the Dwapara Yuga and beginning of Kali Yuga, correct, no? So he did that also. Now the Lord thought, now Dhritarashtra has retired, Pandavas have retired, now it is time for Parikshit to retire. And so Kali has to take up now. And then those people who want to be saved from Kali, they have to take shelter of Bhagavatam. And if they don't take shelter, then they will be swept away by Kali. That was Lord's plan. And Lord wanted to leave the world with Kali for the Kali Yuga to progress further. And then the living entities were given safety and assurance through the Srimad Bhagavatam. So for this whole thing to be enacted, Lord used Parikshit as a tool, as an instrument, in order to make it happen. So Parikshit saw that this is the way that things are transpiring in his life. He was a famous king who was called as Vishnurath, protected by Lord Vishnu in the womb of his mother. He was famous as a subduer of Kali. He was famous as an administrator and a great protector of the Praja. He was very famous as a devotee of Krishna, very popular and famous as the descendant of the Pandavas, the only descendant of Pandavas. So Prabhupada says he inherited also great wealth. Plus, he himself was very chivalrous also. All kings would salute and bow down to him and give him all the taxes and everything. So then in this way, Parikshit was highly empowered and accomplished king. And then the Lord thought, now let me use this devotee of mine to bring out Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. So Krishna wanted him to play a drama like this, putting the dead snake around Samikrishi's neck. How many of you feel it's a little painful for us to play such a drama after having such a track record, you know, such a powerful track record, correct, no? We may tell the Lord, my dear Lord, please use somebody else. Amara badanam mat karo. Correct, no? You have given me such an amazing track record. Now let the last record be very good, you know. Let somebody else put the snake and somebody else, be, if you want me to attend class, I will also go and join the class. Correct, no? But the Lord, you know, the pure devotees are willing to be used by the Lord. Correct, no? The pure devotees don't mind being used by the Lord like this. So he was a willing devotee. They are pliable in the hand of the Lord. They are bendable, flexible in the hand of the Lord. So Lord can use, and there are a lot of things in that. Because when we come to that, we will read, there's a Brahmana boy involved, who was cursing the king. And the Brahmana boy's misbehavior represents all the Brahmanas of Kali Yuga. So there are a lot of subtle points will come when we go to the chapter. But the idea is, the Lord plans to empower the devotee. And he will disempower the devotee when the Lord feels that it is time for the devotee to return back to Godhead. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj became the king of the world, correct, no? At a particular point of time, the Lord, when he left, so he also left. Now we will see that. Yudhishthira Maharaja's, renunciation. You will read that. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj is taking a stick in the hand and wearing a saffron dress, heading towards the north. You will read that. That section will come. So, in the same manner, Lord thought Arjuna's Gandiva was actually empowered for the sake of the Kurukshetra battle, and that battle was over. Now, Lord wanted Arjuna to humbly practice devotional service, which will help him attain the spiritual sky and complete his term in the material world and return back without having to use this power of bow for anything else. In fact, the Yadus also, that point is explained in the last part of this chapter. The Yadus were extremely mighty and powerful, and the Lord did not want to leave them behind like that, because he knew very well, after I go, these Yadus can pose a great difficulty also for the world. So he wanted to wind up and take them also. Therefore, he made another drama, Maushalya drama, yeah, correct. The Yadus also, and they went to that Prabhasa Kshetra, and fighting with one another, they were wound up. When we come to that, I will tell you a little more about that. So here comes a very important point. As practicing Vaishnava devotees, some of the ways of Lord's working may create doubts in our mind, may create fear in our mind, may create astonishment or confusion in our mind, owing to our own lack of surrender at this current stage. We haven't reached the stage of complete surrender. But in a state of complete surrender, for a pure devotee, material world is like a plaything. Imagine, for example, now Prabhupada says that when a mother wants to play with the child, and the child is playing with the toy, mother takes the toy of the child and throws it away and takes the child on her lap, and she starts cajoling the child, throwing the child like this and playing. So child enjoys which one more? Mother or father throwing like this and catching in the wind, he enjoys more or playing with the teddy bear? I think some of them are doubtful, I think. Which one the child likes? You want to ask any child, you can ask. There is Damodar around, you can check with Damodar. He asks Damodar which one he likes. Oh, there is one more boy. What's this? Oh, Damodar is here only. Damodar, which one you like? If your mother throws you in the sky and catches you like this, you like? Or to play with the teddy bear? Which one is saying? Ah, correct, really, no? You can ask. Similarly, for a devotee, playing pastimes with Krishna is more relishable than, you know, performing great feats in the material world and showing to the people, see what I can do. I can keep on sending arrow after arrow. What is there in simply sending arrow? Huh? You know, but exchanging with Krishna personally is more relishable for a devotee. So a devotee, actually in such kinds of moments when Krishna orchestrates a devotee may not even know what is going to happen. One example I'll tell you. Srila Prabhupada, if you see, you know, his business was like flourishing in Calcutta. But a group of his colleagues, they became envious of him. The Bose laboratory. In those days, Bose laboratory was in the top position. India, it was top ranking lab. So Prabhupada would have flourished and become one of the richest men in India. Top five richest men, he would have become. But the envious men made sure that, you know, this fellow will not continue. So then Bose was having full trust in him. You know what he said? Don't worry, here if you have a problem, you go to Allahabad. I will ask you to start a new center there and you run it on your own. And Allahabad center also started flourishing very wonderfully in the beginning. He made a lot of money there also. But then gradually Prabhupada found that Krishna was encouraging more in his spiritual life. And Krishna was actually, Allahabad, there was a fire accident. There was a big loss. And Calcutta, there was a complication due to the colleagues. So in material life, things were falling apart. And in spiritual life, he was getting a lot of encouragement. Back to God, it magazine was selling well. And he was publishing Bhagavatam. You know, what is his name? Poddar. What Poddar? Hanuman Prasad Poddar. He saw Prabhupada's Bhagavatam and he was deeply appreciative. He said, wonderful. This fellow, exactly this author has captured the meaning of Bhagavatam. He said, I am completely... And Hanuman Prasad Poddar was bedridden in those days. He was in his last days. He called his assistants and told him, this person is really transparent. He says what Lord wants to say. Exactly. So he said, give him money for all the four volumes. So he gave a good amount of money. How much? 5,000 rupees in those days. Big amount he gave. And Prabhupada published his Bhagavatam, correct? No? So in spiritual life, he was getting encouragement. And in material business, he was getting discouragement. Like the Prabhupada says. And then Prabhupada says, Yasya aham anagrihanami harishetad dhanam. Krishna was taking away the material wealth. and wanting him to become more and more into spiritual life. Then one day his guru came and told him, take sannyas. His colleagues also told him to take sannyas, other friends. Then he was remembering his guru's instruction, and then when he went to America, the whole thing unfolded, Lord's plan unfolded. So why something is happening in our life, we may not be even able to know with our limited brain. Why the Lord is doing in somebody's life something? He has a plan for everyone. And the outside world may see this and they may criticize or they may joke. Well, let them say what they want, but a devotee has nothing to worry about the other people's opinions. So Prabhupada was sitting in a pharmaceutical shop and mixing chemicals. Krishna thought, what is he doing here? My pure devotee is mixing some chemicals. Throw this and go and take kartal, chant and dance in the park in New York. And this time has come, as predicted in the Bhavishya Puran, that you have to preach and expand all over the world. Correct, no? So, Prabhupada felt intense exchange of love from his heart with Krishna and Guru, both. You will see in the Jaladuta diary, Prabhupada writing Markain Bhagavatam, or Prabhupada, after going to West, how much he in that spiritual struggle to establish the movement, he experienced the greatest moments of ecstasy. Correct, no? How many of you agree to this? Was he experiencing ecstasy in the pharmaceutical shop or preaching in America? Correct, no? So it was, what happened is for good or bad? Yeah. So Krishna is disempowering Prabhupada from making more money. So what will the common materialistic people think? They will think, oh, he failed. Oh, he became too serious in spiritual life. They will think like that, correct, no? Later on, he has no balance, things like that they will say. But later on, he shook the whole world. So, therefore, one has to wait and watch what will come to unfold by Krishna's plan, because Krishna's hand is everywhere, you see. Yeah. So, it's a very important section, very beautiful section. Yeah. Now, if you see further, in the seventh verse onwards, he is remembering what favors I received from Krishna, 7 to 17. Read the translation, 7th one.
Hare Krishna. Is he going to quit his earthly pastimes as Devarshi Narada indicated? Has that time already arrived?
Oh, is it? 7th one.
Since he departed, 7 no. months have passed, yet he has not returned.
Chapter, what is the chapter number?
Correct.
Chapter number is 15, no?
Yes,
you are in which chapter?
Previous one.
Yeah, you are in previous.
Only by his merciful was
please
I...
Please have faith that I have completed 13 and 14. Don't be doubtful, I am still dragging in 13. Yeah. 15th chapter, 7th verse.
Yeah. Only by his merciful strength was I able to vanquish all the lusty princes assembled at the palace of King Drupada for the selection of the bridegroom. With my bow and arrow, I could pierce the fish target and thereby gain the hand of Draupadi.
This is explained in the Mahabharata. How when, Kshatriyas would come from one gate and they would come and sit in one side of the hall. And Brahmanas will come from another gate and they will sit in one side of the hall. Similarly, different people are made to sit. And the leaders would come from another gate, they would sit. So they were all sitting like this. At that time, even Karna came forward, Draupadi immediately stopped him by saying that, you are a son of a charioteer, I don't want you to participate, you please kindly go back. She said like that. So he felt a very great pinch. He stood for a while and then he turned around and went back and sat. And then other warriors came. So when they would try to take the bow to bend it, the bow would spring back like this. And the bow would slip out of their hand and they would fall, and many of them broke their hand and leg. And some of them got hurt by falling on the ground. Some of them fell down so badly they didn't get up only for a long time. Like that it was. And when Duryodhana came, he could easily pick up the bow. Of course he picked up the bow and very heroically took the arrow and he kept and he aimed very attentively. And there was a silence everywhere. And then when he hit the target, it missed by a hairline. Just by a hairline, that's all. So he felt very unhappy, unfortunate. Then he put the bow down and went back to his seat. Then, other than Duryodhana, there was no one else in the Kshatriyas. All the Kshatriyas were over. Was the game over? Nobody got Draupadi's hand. And then the king, Drupada, came forward and he announced that, you know, none of the Kshatriyas could get her hand. Is there anyone who wants to give a try? And then from the Brahmana side, you know, Arjuna looked at Dhaumya Rishi. Dhaumya Rishi said, go ahead, he said. Then he, you know, raised his hand. At that time, Krishna Balaram were also sitting on the Kshatriya side. They were sitting. And Krishna asked Balaram, do you know who are those four fellows? Five fellows. And Balaram looked at, oh, very familiar. He said, they are the same Pandavas. And Krishna said, already it is predicted that Arjuna only will get the hand of Draupadi. Predicted means what? He only has decided. Correct. And he was watching. And he said, wait and watch now what miracle Arjuna will do now. And then when from Brahmana side the hand was raised, there was a confusion whether Brahmana can be allowed. So Drupada spoke very beautifully. He said, actually speaking, Kshatriyas are supposed to win, but Brahma Tejas is superior to Kshatriya Tejas also. Brahmanas are wise. And if my daughter marries a Brahmana, it will be Anuloma marriage. Because a higher caste man is marrying a lower caste woman. So it will be Anuloma marriage. And I don't mind in case any of the Brahmanas can do that. So then having obtained the permission, because Drupada also had consulted the sages. So when Arjuna was coming forward, Brahmanas were very happy. They were all waving their clothes and kamandalu. You know? They were waving like this. From our side, somebody is going. Yeah. And when Arjuna came forward and he took the bow effortlessly, placed the arrow and was very attentively, he watched the way the fish was moving. And there was a pin drop silence. Everybody was in great amazement because if he doesn't win, who else is going to do? So he hit the target in such a way that it exactly pierced the hole and brought the fish out of the... It's like a wooden fish kind of thing. It brought it out of the thing and it threw off down. And even after throwing down, the arrow never fell off. Arrow continued to be there in the eye of the fish. So seeing that, everybody cheered in the assembly and they glorified Arjun for this great feat. So then when Drupada came forward and congratulated him. In fact, Draupadi knew that she wanted to marry Arjun only. And when she saw this Brahman, so-called Brahman, who looked like, because the Pandavas were draped in Brahman dress, you know why? Because they were saved from the Varnavat Lakshagras, they had come from there, no? So they were roaming as Brahmans, but they were Kshatriyas. So Draupadi was more than happy. She knew that, you know, somehow or other intuitively she knew this is Arjuna. When all the warriors had lost, Draupadi was carrying a golden plate with a red garland. And everybody wanted to be garlanded by that. But big warriors came. Even Duryodhana, when he saw Arjuna winning, he got wild. He was the one who stood up in the assembly and shouted, "This is unacceptable. I think Draupada wanted to insult all of us Kshatriyas." You see, he is calling all of us for a competition and he is putting one of the Brahmanas to win the game. And he is insulting all Kshatriyas and driving us away. What do you think, all of you Kshatriyas? And they all started getting up and saying, "Yes, we are also very insulted." They all said like that. And Drupada got a little frightened. He thought that these people are, all Kshatriyas are joining hands together. Probably there is going to be a war now. So when Drupada got a little behind. And then immediately he called Draupadi and gave the hand of Draupadi in marriage to Arjuna. And as soon as the exchange of the garlands happened, all the Kshatriyas started attacking Drupada. Immediately, Yudhishthira Maharaj got up and said, "Arjuna, protect your father-in-law." Because now he's already father-in-law now. You have accepted Draupadi. Immediately, Arjuna took his bow and arrow. And then all the Brahmanas also came forward and told Arjuna, "Arjuna, don't worry, we are here to support you." our kamandalus are there, our sticks are there. And Arjuna smiled at them and said, please relax. I can do the needful. And then he sent volleys of arrows. Of course, he never intended to kill anyone. He just wanted to, you know, keep all the Kshatriyas in bay and drive them away. That was his plan. So he did that very expertly. Actually, Krishna, there also Krishna comes and speaks about how Arjuna, though being a Brahmana, deserves to marry Draupadi because he has rightfully won. And the Brahmanas are superior class, they should be allowed. And Krishna speaks there actually, you will find. Because that was his intention also originally, you see. So, here Arjuna is remembering how, you know, I could not have got the hand of Draupadi if it was not for Krishna. So he is remembering one by one all the favors that he received from Krishna. Very great, highly skilled and trained warriors could not do certain things which Arjuna did very easily, very dexterously, very swiftly. And he couldn't believe his own prowess because it was not his own. It was actually an empowerment of Krishna. So he is actually gratefully thanking Krishna. See, in the last line of the purport, what Prabhupada says? Arjuna was lamentingly remembering the incident in the absence of the Lord, by whose strength only he was so powerful. Yeah, next verse translation. This I have already told you this. See, the eighth verse, what is it talk about? Kandava Prastha Forest, correct? Maya Dana and how. Actually, one interesting part of that Kandaprastha pastime is how when Mayadanav came and caught hold of the feet of Arjuna, Arjuna told him, get up. He was not getting up. He said, please promise me you will not kill me. Arjuna said, how can I kill you? You are surrendered. Somebody surrenders to you, a Kshatri cannot kill. So I cannot kill you. I won't kill you. Don't worry. You get up. Then Mayadanav got up. And then Mayadanav said, oh, my master Arjuna, I will do anything for you. Arjuna said, what do I need when I have Krishna with me? I have all that I need. I don't need anything. If you wish, you may do something for Lord's pleasure. Then he was falling at Krishna's feet. Krishna said, oh, I have everything. I don't need anything. You serve my devotees. You know, you do what Arjuna is asking. So he again fell at Arjuna's feet. And Arjuna again refused to ask for anything. Why should he? Krishna is himself providing for him, for the Pandavas. Why should he ask anything from Mayadana? Then when Mayadana fell at the feet of Krishna, this time Krishna said, yes, I have one thing to ask you. What is it? Make a Maya Sabha, a beautiful palace, and make the Kandava Prastha into a beautiful city filled with several palaces, several ponds with lotuses and lilies and ducks and swans in them. Make archways and bridges and roads, very smooth roads. And make many homes and residential places for people to live. So create all the wonderful facilities in this city and convert this forest, which is burnt down to ashes now by Agnidev, convert it into a Indraprasth. He said it will be called as Indraprasth. So then Mayadana said, so be it, I will do it. Then Mayadana actually was highly skilled in architecture. So it is said that his architecture was so powerful that depending on the person's mental attitude, you know, certain things would behave in his architecture. Like the floor will look like water when it is a glass mirror. It look like water for one who is envious, if somebody is envious. Similarly, a place where there is actually water will appear like a mirror. Therefore, Duryodhana got bewildered when he fell. Because the in Mayadhanava's palace, depending on one's mental state, certain pictures will look in certain way also. So like that, many, many things he had done. A very, very marvelous type of creation he did. For the pleasure of Krishna and the Pandavas, because in the order of Krishna only he did that. And when Indraprastha became so beautiful, all the people of Hastinapur came to know that, hey, Pandavas are alive. Everybody was very happy. And they had heard the news that Pandavas died in that Varanavad. In fact, there was one Shok Sabha arranged by Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, calling all the Praja to cry that Pandavas have died. So Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra cried crocodile tears. Actually, Krishna Balaram had gone for that function also. That is the most amazing thing. You know? To see who all are making a show of crying, isn't it? So, in this way, you will... Then what happened? Now that the people came to know that the Pandava was still alive, you know what they did? All the learned Brahmanas, Chayabala Kshatriyas, well-to-do Vaishyas, loyal Shudras, they started migrating towards Indraprastha. They all started, they said, we will go and live there. Pandavas are there, so we will live with Pandavas. Immediately, Dhritarashtra came to know that this is happening. Immediately, he put a rule. Stop it, stop it. Put a restriction in the barrier, in the frontiers of Hastinapur, that our citizens cannot be allowed to leave. There will be some customs people who will stop them. They will not be allowed to migrate. Sometimes India to America, America and India, some restrictions are there for the visa, no? Like that, he also made restriction. He became afraid. If everybody goes there, my son Duryodhana will be empty. He will have nobody to rule. So he didn't allow. So only some people were allowed to go. So in this way, this was made possible by Krishna. Again, he is remembering the favor received from Krishna, you see. Yeah. And then the ninth verse. Yate jasan rupashirongri mahan makhartam. Aryonu jastavagaja yuta satpavirya tena hrita pramatanatha makhaya bhupa yanmochitas tadanayan balimadvarete. Yeah. Read the translation.
Your respectable younger brother, who possesses the strength of 10,000 elephants.
Telling who is telling whom? Arjuna is telling about Bhima to Yudhishthira. Yeah.
Killed by his grace, Jarasandha, whose feet were worshipped by many kings. These kings had been brought for sacrifice in Jarasandha's Mahabhairava Yajna, but they were thus released. Later they paid tribute to your majesty.
Yeah. So Mahabhairava Yajna, actually he wanted to give them as Narabali. How many? Almost 28,700 kings. He wanted to give them as Narabali. So, actually, this was predicted by Uddhava that only one person will be able to kill. Who? Kill Jarasandha. That was Bhima. So, but then how Bhima is able to kill Jarasandha, do you know? Guided by Krishna. If Krishna wouldn't guide him, then Jarasandha again and again... You know, Jarasandha's body, you cut it into two, from the head to the bottom. You would cut like this, again it will become like this. Again he will get up and fight. Again you cut him like this, becomes two halves. Because there is a mystery about Jarasandha's birth. His mother found him in two pieces. And then she collected one part of the body from one place, another part, and then she assembled it. So that's how Jarasandha comes. So, he has Shiva's benediction also. So, it was almost like next to impossibility to kill Jarasandha. Anybody, nobody could stand. Can you imagine 28,700 world kings were arrested by him? Very, very mighty. In fact, he would have never allowed the Rajasuya horse to go and not allowed Yudhishthira Maharaj to perform the Rajasuya Yajna. He was very, very powerful. And he was also a demon also. Can you imagine? He was planning to do Narabali, which is concocted Narabali type of thing where he would have killed all these kings. Actually, these kings all became very humble. They wrote a letter to Krishna. Please come and save us. We are all caught up. Just like gopis were saved from the jail. The queens of Dwaraka. Like that, these kings were also saved by Krishna. But instead of Krishna doing the job, as per the suggestion of Uddhava, Krishna put Bhima in the front. So Bhima killed, but Bhima only had raw strength to fight against Jarasandha. But the skill... And the idea was given by Krishna. So, you know, he told him to put the body like this. And then Jarasandha's body wouldn't assemble after that. So he died, Jarasandha, after that. So here he's telling, if actually Krishna was involved in many of the fine places. Like, you know, when Duryodhana and Bhima were fighting, fight went on for many days. So it's Krishna only who said, you have to break the thighs of Duryodhana. Because his thigh is the weak portion of his body. then his mother Gandhari strengthened the whole body from head to toe. Krishna had gone and told Arjuna, told Duryodhana, "Hey, you are nude. How can you be nude and going in front of your mother like this? You are a grown-up man. You know, at least you should have a banana leaf around your thighs." So he put a banana leaf around his thighs. But mother took off her kerchief and looked at the boy, Duryodhana. She shouted, she said, "My dear son, why did you wear this? That portion of your body will be weak, and the rest of the body will be strong." So Duryodhana's entire body was like a hardened steel. Nobody could hit him. But the thighs were weak. Therefore Krishna gave an indication that actually one cannot hit in the thigh of a wrestler with the mace when both his feet are on the ground. If you do, it's a wrong move. It is. So when Bhima, of course, was powerful, he had mountain-like strength. But Duryodhana had skill because he was trained by whom? Balaram. How do they do? Which is superior, skill or the raw strength? Skill is more superior. Because like between the elephant and the Ankush, which is superior? Ankush or the elephant? Ankush can control the elephant, isn't it? So in the same manner, skill can control raw strength very easily. Therefore, you find a human being with his skill is able to control all the animals on earth. Correct, no? Including huge animals like elephant. You've seen? A man can make a big elephant sit on a small stool in the circus. You've seen that? Man is controlling even a lion and tiger also he captures. Correct, no? Such ferocious animals. Because man has the smartness, skill. So Duryodhana had the skill, and Krishna understood that, you know, his skill is matchless and he won't be able to do. Therefore, Krishna didn't tell Bhima. Krishna told Arjuna. Arjuna was asking question about who will win. Then Krishna said, if Bhima breaks the thigh of Duryodhana, he will win. But for breaking the thigh, both the legs of Duryodhana have to be above the ground. Then only you can say that you are hitting on the, you know, this side, and then that fell on the thighs. One jumps. So Bhima understood, smart. Bhima was also smart. He was seeing Krishna showing direction to Arjuna. He watched it. Then exactly he did what was said. So the match was won by Bhima. So you will find, of course, when Bhima won, some of them chastised Bhima. "Fie upon Bhima, coward Bhima. He has hit on the thigh, it's unacceptable. Below the navel of the body, the lower portion of the body, you cannot hit." So at that time, Balaramji became very upset. He came running. He went to attack Bhima with his club. And Krishna came in between and captured Balaramji. Balaramji was trying to escape from Krishna's hands. Somehow or other, Krishna wouldn't leave him at all. In fact, Krishna fell down on the ground and offered obeisances, catching both the feet of Balaram, not leaving him only to go. And then Krishna said, three things he says. See, already sage Maitreya before has predicted that Bhima will be the cause of death of Duryodhana. And Bhima also had taken a vow when Panchali, when Draupadi was disrobed, she took a vow that I will break the thighs of Duryodhana. And thirdly, he said, actually, the Pandavas are virtuous. And we have come in this world to establish religion. And Duryodhana and company are, irreligious. They are destined to die by their own sins, stock of sins. What to speak of Bhima killing him? "Please, my dear brother, look upon Bhima very favorably," he said. And then Balaramji said, like that Balaramji left. So now you may wonder, Balaram is Krishna's expansion only. How they can behave like a split personality. That is to increase the sweetness of the pastime. They do like that. So in this way you find Bhima's ability to defeat, Duryodhana, or Bhima's ability to kill Jarasandha. These are all, my Lord, without Krishna's guidance and direction, this was next to impossibility. Correct, no? Therefore, Arjuna is very gratefully remembering the favors that they received from Krishna. Yeah. Here's the next translation. Basically, next translation talks about this thing and the Rajasuya sacrificial assembly when she was, and this is Draupadi. She fell down at the feet of Lord Krishna with tears in her eyes. At that time, you know, Krishna supplied unlimited saris, that pastime. And that is also a very amazing pastime. I want to only say little small details. You all know the pastime. You know this, when Draupadi was decorating her hair, braiding her hair, one servant was sent by Duryodhana. At that time, you all know, Pandavas had kept their crown down. They lost their kingdom. Duryodhana kept Draupadi, Yudhishthira Maharaj kept Draupadi on stake and lost her also. Then Karna suggested to Duryodhana, why don't you bring Draupadi and disturb in the public so everybody can see her naked beauty, like that. So Duryodhana sent one Pratikamin, one of the servants. Pratikamin was very respectful to her. He went to her with folded palms and he told her, Mother, Duryodhana is calling you to the Sabha. And she understood there is something going on, something fishy. She said, I won't come unless the Kuru elders, they call me and they answer my question about how can a husband take a wife if he has lost himself and his kingdom. So Pratikamin went back and then said, again Duryodhana told him, Yudhishthir, your wife is not coming. Ask her to come. Tell Pratikamin. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, go and call her. Then again Pratikamin went with tears coming from his eyes. And then he told her that even Yudhishthir Maharaj is calling you. He is your husband. So this is a very easy again question. She said, I can't come unless I get answer to this question. How can he take me? I happen to be his wife, but he has lost himself and kingdom. I cannot come. Then when Pratikamin was weeping, Duryodhana saw that. He said, he's a useless coward. Dushasana, you go and bring. Then Dushasana went, caught hold of the hair of Draupadi and dragged her to the public assembly. At that time, she was lying on the road, lying on the middle of the Sabha. She sat down and she looked all around. Her husbands were all, their crown was down. They were all hanging their heads down. None of them could lift their face. And she saw all the Kuru elders like Bhishma Pitama, Dronacharya. They were all, turning their face away. So she looked at them and she openly asked them, oh great Kuru elders, in the assembly of such great souls like you, how can such a thing like this happen? A woman should never be brought to a public sabha to be humiliated. And this is happening. How can my husbands take me? So you asked this question. So I asked this. And then only he said, Bhishma Pitamaha spoke up. He said, Draupadi, your wife is always the property of the husband only. She cannot be independent. She can't be anyone else's property. Actually, therefore I am confused about Dharma, he said, Bhishma. So, and Vidura was yelling at Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra, you are the king. You have to speak up now. If you don't speak up, that will be adharma. And Dhritarashtra didn't speak a word. He was just looking at him. What can I do? So her husbands couldn't say. So at that time, Duryodhana said, why are you delaying Dushasana? Disrobe her. So when she was disrobed, she was practically helpless. Pandavas didn't even want to lift their face and see the scene. And only Bhima, sparks of fire were coming from his ears and nose also. So when he heard Duryodhana, and Duryodhana told Draupadi, before disrobing, Duryodhana said, Draupadi, your husbands have lost you to me. So now you have become mine. Come and sit on my lap. Like that he hit the lap. That time Bhima took his mace and said, Duryodhana, I will break your thighs, he said. The very same thigh on which you told my wife to sit, I will break your thighs. That time he took a shapat. Who? Bhima took a shapat at that time. And then he said, you Dushasana, who is trying to disrobe Draupadi, I will break your heart, I will break your chest and pull out your heart, and with that blood I will bathe Draupadi's hairs. Like that he took a vow also. So these kind of vows, powerful vows they took. Very dangerous vows there. And to fulfill all these vows, Krishna gave support. And Krishna gave all help. Actually, Bhima took a shapat very easily, but it was a little difficult to fulfill all these things. So Krishna had to fine-tune. Last minute help Krishna had to give him in everything. How to handle all this difficult. Later on, Krishna met the Pandavas and said, "Are you guys, every one of you took so many shapats. Do you think you are powerful to do it?" And Bhima said, "My dear Krishna, you are there for us. Why should we worry?" So in this way, they increased Lord's tension. Bhagavan ki tension ko bada diya. So you will find every one of these shlokas which are explaining these pastimes, how Krishna's hand is there, you will see. And then the 11th verse, they're telling about this Durvasa Muni's, that pastime of Durvasa Muni coming to the forest. Actually, you will find one amazing phenomenon in behavior of Krishna. Krishna simply delights in having a time with his devotees and exchanging rasa with them. What is Krishna not aware of? Everything in the creation is moving by him, around him, powered by him, isn't it? So, therefore, our intention of Duryodhana in sending Durvasa known to Krishna, and Durvasa coming with thousands of disciples to the Pandavas. Right now the Akshayapatra is kept upside down. There is no food, any more food available. That is not unknown to Krishna. So, when the Pandavas were in this kind of predicament, immediately Draupadi folded her palms and closed her eyes and very intensely prayed to Krishna for guidance. What do I do at this time? Because why she is praying, she is the housewife who is supposed to supply prasad. Correct, no? Once in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought 20 sannyasis to the home of Lakshmi Priya, no? And he told Lakshmi Priya, "How blessed we are, come here and see." Who has come? And she came and saw 20 sannyasis were there. Actually, sometimes grihasthas are warned not to call too many sannyasis because taking care of them is little more difficult. Not very easy because there may be some shortfall in respect, no? But Mahaprabhu said, "I want prasad for all of them to be served." Of course, Lakshmi Priya went to the kitchen. She did little bit. She is Lakshmi only, no? She could make everything. But the idea is, in this way, generally, the kitchen is headed by the mother, lady. So they have to worry. So Draupadi prayed to Krishna, and Krishna did come immediately. Krishna appeared there. And then he went to Draupadi and said, "Draupadi, I am very hungry. Do you have some prasad you can share with me?" She said, "I am already in trouble, worrying about Durvasa Muni, and you are asking for prasad now. You are asking for it at the wrong time." So, you will find he makes the pastime more sweeter. Krishna like this, adding spice to the pastime even more, you see. So, then one amazing thing with Pandavas, every one of them had full faith in Krishna's words. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj was ready to tell a lie. Arjuna was ready to hit Jayadratha when Krishna told him, "You kill him now, although, sunshine is still there, you kill him." Similarly, when Bhima was told by Krishna, "Bhima, go and announce to all the thousands of disciples of Durvasa that prasad is ready." Of course, Bhima looked around, there was no symptom of any prasad ready. But he had full faith in Krishna's words. How Krishna will tackle that is whose problem? Krishna's problem. So he went to call. So when Bhima would invite somebody for prasad, many saintly people would be afraid because, like we say, Atmavan Manyate Jagat, no? So he would put them 5 people's food in one plate. So already people would request that, "Please let Nakula Sahadev somebody serve, not Bhima." But now Bhima is going with the mace and calling everybody. So Durvasa Muni told all his disciples, suddenly when they were taking a bath and doing Gayatri in the waters, suddenly they found the belly became like a pillow, big, bloating. So they were, so he told the disciples, "See, already I have experience of Ambarish Maharaj, some time ago. These devotees, every time I encounter the devotees, I get into some problem. Now before I can get into some problem, we will run away." So they all ran away. So that he is remembering, is telling, during our exile, how Krishna favored us by just eating one grain. When he ate one grain, it is said, even all the demigods in the heavens, they all got satisfied also. And all the earthly beings, everybody got satisfied. So that is explained. So like this, one by one, he is remembering. Up to, what is the next one? This I have already told you, the 12th one. Fighting with Shiva, correct? Pashupatastra, have you got? That is the 12th one. And the 13th one, yeah, read the 13th translation.
When I stayed for some days as a guest in the heavenly planets, all the heavenly demigods, including King Indradev, took shelter of my arms, which were marked with the Gandiva bow, to kill the demon named Nivata Kavach. O King, descendant of Ajamida, at the present moment, I am bereft of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who by whose influence I was so powerful.
Yeah. That Prabhupada is writing in the middle, the Lord is all-powerful, and by His grace, His pure devotee can be as powerful as he may desire. And there is no limit to it. And when the Lord withdraws His power from anyone, He is powerless by the will of the Lord. As it is saying. So Prabhupada says, sometimes the pure devotee of the Lord is more powerful than the Lord, by the mercy of the Lord. Like he gives example of Nityananda Prabhu. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was delivering Sarvam Bhattacharya and Prakashan Sarathin, such kind of class people, who are highly educated. And Nityananda Prabhu could deliver Jagaya Madai and extremely degraded people. Where the Mahaprabhu would never ever consider going to such people at all. The most degraded people. But Nityananda Prabhu could deliver. So Mahaprabhu in one of the shlokas says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Nityananda, I want you to preach in Bengal, he said. Why? Because you are more merciful than me in preaching. Where I become upset and angry, you become more and more merciful. So you are more empowered than me because you are delivering Nityananda. And then Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Nityananda delivered one Jagaya Madai, but by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one can deliver hundreds and thousands of Jagaya Madais. And who did that? Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada writes in Guru Parampara, the guru-disciple relationship is such that the later and later coming disciples can do sometimes more and more than even their superiors by the empowerment of the Lord. Actually, and the superior never feels an envy problem towards the subordinate, that the subordinate is able to do better. Sometimes a farmer may have a son who is an engineer, and the farmer proudly tells everybody, see, I am only a job, whereas my son is an engineer. So he doesn't feel any kind of, what do you call it, uneasiness. Similarly, the Lord also feels great delight in glorifying His devotee as greater than Himself also. Like you all know, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was weeping after the battle, why did I kill so many people and all? Krishna could not convince, right? Vyas couldn't convince him. Who convinced him? And why did Lord make Bhishma preach to Yudhishthira Maharaj? The reason is, Lord wanted to show that Bhishma is more talented than me, is more knowledgeable than me. That was his attitude. So this is not the first time. Can you give more examples of where the Lord empowered His devotee to be able to do something better than Him? In Ambarish Maharaj, what He did? Correct. Hanuman also, correct. Yeah, that's true, yeah. Shiva? Lord Shiva drinking the halahal poison. That is true, yeah. Uddhava is giving suggestion, advice to the Lord. Correct, no? He is giving advice to the Lord, yes. Now you may ask, who can give advice to Krishna? He knows, he is all-knowing. But Krishna can take advice from Uddhava also. So there are examples like that. So, in this way, Prabhupada is writing that, Arjuna was saying that even King Indra and all the demigods could not attack the 60,000 Nivata Kavachas. There were 60,000 people. And they all begged Arjuna, can you help us? So Arjuna helped. Like that. So Arjuna is remembering that. My Lord, I could offer help even to the demigods, although I am only a human being. And that was possible how? By Krishna's grace. And then he's talking about Kaurava Sainya Sagaram in the next one. Correct, no? Like Bhishma and... only because of my friendship with him, he was seated on my chariot, I could cross over this ocean. And then only by his grace I was able to regain the cows and also collect the by force many helmets of the kings which are bedecked with jewels and were source of... This is in Virat Desh. See, in Virat Desh, see in the Vedic times when kings would fight, you know what they will do? They will go to the enemy's kingdom and they will steal the cows. And they will steal some 100 or 500 cows like that and take it away. They won't harm them. So in Tamil Nadu also the same practice. I have heard in South India also the kings. So by stealing the cow, that is like an invitation for fight. It's only an invitation for the fight. So when you wage a war against them and they are defeated, they will release all the cows back. They will give it all back. But this is the step one in any war. So why they were stealing the cows? Because people considered cow as the greatest wealth. That is mentioned in the verse also. The greatest wealth amongst all the wealth. So when Virat Desh, Duryodhana and company, they came and stole all the cows and taken away. So that time who went? Virata's son. What is his name? Uttar. His name is Uttar. So, and who was his charioteer? Arjuna. So at that time Arjuna went. Actually, the whole thing was inspired by Draupadi. And Draupadi saw Uttar wanting to go, she laughed. He is going to attack Bhishma, he is going to attack Karna, he is going to attack Duryodhana, all these people. So then she was the one who suggested that somebody else should go with him. Then she told Arjuna, who was Brihanala, dance teacher, no? Why don't you go? Then he agreed to go. So Uttar was thinking Arjuna as an ordinary dance teacher, because he was an incognito, you know. So that time when Arjuna went, he saw Uttar crying, seeing all the people on the opposite side. He got shocked. So he told Brihanala, take a U-turn, rush back before they attack us. I never thought so many great warriors will come now. So Brihanala wasn't ready. He said, you see, either you fight or allow me to fight, he said. He said, you are a eunuch and you are going to fight. He laughed and he said, I am not a eunuch, I am Arjuna. And he told the 12 names of Arjuna. Dhananjaya, such kind of names. And when Uttar heard it, see the names are correct, but how can I know that you are Arjuna? Maybe you memorize the names. You know? Arjuna said, come with me, I'll take you and show. So he took him to one tree where they had kept in a sack, in a goni, they had kept all the different weapons. So Arjuna climbed up the tree and he opened the sack and pulled out Gandiva bow and the quiver of arrows also. Then he brought both of them out. Then he climbed down and said, do you know what is this? This is the Gandiva bow. So when he saw that, then Uttar admitted, then why are you in a female form like this, in a eunuch form, why? Arjuna said, we are incognito and our incognito period is ending. Yesterday was the last day. So now I can reveal who I am to you. I have nothing to hide now. He said, I am Arjuna. And the stout fellow, tall fellow in the kitchen, who is he? Bhima. Like that he revealed, who is who? And he said, now there is no time to talk. Come, let us go and fight the battle. You drive my chariot and I will fight the battle. So Arjuna was behind. Of course, Arjuna still was looking like Brihanala only. He didn't change his veshbhush. Then he took his Gandiva bow and he twanged it. Dak, 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 dak. When it was heard by everybody, especially Duryodhana, was shocked. Oh, this is a very familiar sound. And the great Dronacharya said, yes, the familiar sound that you know, I know, and all of us know, it is the most well-known sound of Gandiva. And this is the same Gandiva and that fellow is the same Arjuna, no doubt about it. Only thing is, you have detected this truth one day after the Ajnatavas period is over. So he said, it's useless. Now, better you now find out the ways to fight and defeat him. So immediately the fight began. You know who all attacked? You know, Karna was there, Duryodhana was there, Bhishma was there, all had come. But this Brihanala, actually for 12 years they had not fought now. Now, along with compound interest, you know, you are sending arrows now. So dexterously he defeated them all. They all had to run for their lives. After that, everybody, ran back, you see. So that's what he's remembering now, how powerfully I could drive them back. Yeah, everybody went back, all of them. Actually, there are certain wars where the intention is not to kill. In like, for example, in certain wars only you have to overpower them. If you have overpowered, they'll go back. That's all. If you have shown, like sometimes in two people fight, they do like this. They put the hand like this. You know that? The hand comes from here, from behind. Something. What do you call that? Master lock, they call it. How many of you know what is master lock? Ah, correct. And you do like this, then you are defeated. Then you can send them back. That's all. Similarly, in a warfare also, in a certain way, you subdue them, they will have to, they'll be forced to accept the defeat. And he did that. That's what Arjuna did. He defeated them all and sent them back. So he is himself wondering, how did I have so much power? Huh? It is Krishna's empowerment. Like that he's telling. Yeah. And then he is telling, the 15th verse is talking about all the, yeah. It was he only who withdrew the duration of life from everyone in the battlefield and withdrew the speculative power and strength of Entu from the great military phalanx made by Kauravas, headed by Bhishma, Karna, Drona, Shalya, etc. Their arrangement was very expert and more than adequate. But Sri Krishna, while going forward, did all this, he's saying. The other party was equipped with... So in this way, one day they had a needle formation. A needle formation means it will be like this. It will be like a needle. So they would go like this and pierce into the next opposite army. And then how to attack. Similarly, different formation, like a semicircle formation. So every formation has certain goals to be achieved while attacking the enemy's army, depending on the number of the Akshaunis they have and depending on what would work on that particular day. So he's saying they were all very, very expert. So very expertly, because many big personalities like Dronacharya, Bhishma and all were there. But he said, I don't know how we could win. It's all possible by only Krishna, like that he's telling. And then, yeah, great generals like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Bhurishrava, Susharma, Shalya, Jayadratha, Bahalika, all directed their weapons against me. But by Krishna's grace, they could not even touch a hair on my head. I told you yesterday, no? Balana Banka Karisakai, correct? He's telling that only. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj was unaffected by the weapons the demons used against him. Like Prahlad was protected, he's saying, I was also protected. Yeah. See here, the Chakravyuha which was made, it was 2 kilometer by 20 kilometer. 2 kilometer by 20 kilometer size, in which Jayadratha was at the other end, which means you have to cross this 2 kilometer by 20 kilometer ka, that much army, if you have to reach Jayadratha, and Arjuna has to pierce through it and go. Can you imagine? So Arjuna would never be able to reach. So different days they had different formations like this. And he says that by Krishna's grace we could... So in this way up to 17, 7 to 17, he is recollecting all these type of different favors. Now he is becoming more thoughtful of the intimate moments in those 5 verses he is speaking, 18th onwards. See the 18th? Read the translation.
O King.
Oh, this is a beautiful verse we can recite also. Narmanyudara ruchi rasmita shobhitani. He partha he arjuna sakhe kurunandaneti. Sanjalpitani naradeva hridis prishani. Smartur luthanti hridayam mama madhavasya. See the word to word translation. Narmani. Narmani means joking. Udara ruchira smita shobitani. Very frank talks. Frank talks actually means without any formality. And very pleasing. While his face was smiling, Krishna was smiling with his beautiful face. And he would call me, Hey Partha, like that, note of address, O Sanaprata, Hey Arjuna, Hey Sakhe, Hey Kurunandana. Like that, Krishna was calling me with different names. So now he is remembering how Krishna was calling him and addressing him. So everywhere he turned around. Hey Partha. Hey Sakha. Hey Sakhe. Hey Arjuna. That kind of words he was hearing wherever he turned around, because it appeared that Krishna is calling me like this. And then he is saying, Sanjalpitani Naradeva Hridisprishani. Oh King Yudhishthir. Such kind of, whenever Krishna called me with his sweet voice, it was Hridisprishani, means heart touching it was. Smartur Luthanti Hridayam Mama Madhavasya. Remembering it again and again, my heart is becoming stolen by, overwhelmed by Madhava, Lord Madhava. Actually, here he is not saying that, see, if you see the translation, one way of getting overwhelmed is that Krishna is stealing my heart. Another meaning is I am feeling great loss of my friend. Because such intimate moments when Krishna joked with me and called me by different names. Now I am feeling, when will he again come and call me like that? So in this way he is getting overwhelmed, remembering Madhava. Shayasana tanavikat tana bhojana adishu. Shayasana tanavikat tana bhojana adish. Aikyadvayasya ritavan iti vipralabdha. Sakyu sakeva pitruvat tanayasya sarvam. Sehe mahan mahitaya kumater aghamme. Yeah, read the translation.
Generally, both of us used to live together and sleep, sit and loiter together. And at that time of advertising oneself for acts of chivalry, sometimes, if there were any irregularity, I used to reproach him by saying, "My friend, you are very truthful." Even in those hours when his value was minimized, he, being the super soul, used to tolerate all these utterings of mine, excusing me exactly as a true friend excuses his true friend, or a father excuses his son.
Yeah, that means sometimes I would speak with Krishna sarcastically, jokingly. Whenever we had estimation of our strength, sometimes Arjuna would boast about his power to achieve something. And then Krishna would say, "Sabash." And then sometimes Krishna would boast about what he can do and Arjuna would appreciate. But sometimes while doing so, sometimes they would sarcastically joke about each other, and those jokes he didn't misunderstand me, like that he's telling. But this is also a very beautiful verse. Soham Nripendra Rahitah Purushottamena. Sakya Priyena Sukhrida Hridayena Shunyaha. Advanjuru Krama Parigrahamanga Rakshan. Gopai Rasad Birabaleva Vinirjitosmi. Yeah.
O Emperor, now I am separated from my friend and dearmost well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my heart appears to be void of everything. In his absence, I have been defeated by a number of infidel while I was guarding the bodies of all the wives of Krishna.
Yeah. So the what is this pastime of, when he was coming with the queens of Krishna, that they were stolen by some infidel coward man. For this, if you refer to the 10th canto, 82nd or 83rd chapter, you will find one very important section. When all the queens of Dwaraka were sitting together in Dwaraka once and talking, the queens, like the chief queens, there are five of them. They all aspired that. One queen said, "I want to wash Krishna's feet." One queen said, "I want to, worship him. Every life after life." Like that, every one of them had different desire. But there were 16,000 queens who were all taken out of the jail, no? Jail of? Bhaumasura. Those queens had a different desire. You know what desire they had? They had a desire that we want to take the dust of the Vrijabasis and learn from Vrijabasis how to worship Krishna in an intimate spirit. This desire they had. The reason was, these 16,000 queens, they had heard the glories of Vrijabasis from Uddhava. They had heard. So they had developed a Vrajabhakti Bhava, the 16,000 queens. So therefore, you find that although the chief queens are superior to this 16,000 queens who came later, from one point of view, from a practical point of bhakti point of view, these 16,000 queens are considered even more special than the five chief queens also, because they had, their aspiration was to serve Krishna exactly in the mood of gopis. So when Krishna left the planet, he thought that these queens now already have developed aspiration for getting Vrajabhakti, unlike the other Dwaraka queens. So he wanted to take them as gopis in another universe where he had gone to perform pastimes. So then how will he take him? For that he did one, employed one trick. What is it? That's explained in the purport, you will see. Somewhere in the middle. Sri Chakra Thakur has justified the contradiction by research in the Vishnu Purana and Brahma Purana. The Puranas said that once the Apsaras of heaven pleased Ashtavakra Muni by their service. And the Muni was very pleased. And the Lord said, and Muni said that, you will get Supreme Lord as your husband. Like that he gave benediction. And all the Apsaras became very jolly, happy. But Ashtavakra means he had 8 bends in his body. So he used to move while walking in a very peculiar manner. Seeing that the Apsaras were laughing, seeing the movements of the Muni. And now the Muni became angry. He cursed them that they would be kidnapped by rogues. Even though they may get Lord as their husband. So later on the girls again were shocked. And then they again satisfied Muni by their proper prayers and seeking forgiveness and everything. Then Muni blessed them and said, okay, I cannot take back my curse, but don't worry, you will regain your husband even after being robbed by rogues. So like that he had given them. So in order to keep the words of the great Muni, Lord Krishna himself became those rogues and thieves. And he kidnapped his own wives from the protection of Arjuna. Otherwise, they would have at once vanquished from the scene as soon as they were touched by the rogues. Because they were not ordinary women. They were actually having transcendental bodies. Correct, no? Yeah. Besides that, some of the gopis who prayed to become wives of the Lord returned to their respective positions after their desire was fulfilled. After the departure of Lord Krishna, he wanted all his entourage back to Godhead. So he took them. Correct, no? You understand this? So in this way, Prabhupada beautifully explained. So now, the point is what? Now, based on these two Puranas, we are happy that the person who stole all those 16,000 Dwaraka queens were only Krishna. Krishna only took. So that is the good news. At the same time, those Krishna forms, they came like infidel covered men, correct? Huh? An ordinary covered man, like that he had come. So Arjuna says that at that time he tried to take his Gandiva bow and overpower them, but he could not. Therefore, he is telling, you know, in the battle I defeated personalities like Karna, I defeated Bhishma, and now I am not able to defeat even coward man. This is a very great insult, isn't it? Actually, Kaliya, if you see, he was thinking that Kaliya said, you know, if I am defeated by another big serpent, it would have been very nice. But I am defeated by this small boy, you know, blue boy, and that too is dancing on my head, everybody is watching. He was feeling very uneasy, he felt ego problem. Correct, no? Kaliya was feeling like that. So in our life also, whenever, you know, if we are defeated by something which is very insignificant, that is more insulting than getting defeated by some person who is equal combat. Correct, no? So any of us would be insulted by that. Here, for Arjuna, he has been holding the Gandiva bow and terrorizing, you know, warriors of the caliber of, you know, Bhishma and Karna and Duryodhana and such people. Here he felt, I could not even defeat this infidel covered man. So where is my power gone? Therefore, after that, this verse comes, which I recited before. తద్వైదనుస్తయిషవః సరతోయహాస్తే సోహం రథీ నృపతయో యతానమంతి సర్వం క్షణేన తదభూదసదీశ రిక్తం భస్మన్ హుతం కుహకరాద్దమివోప్తమూష్యాం.
I have the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses, and I used them as the same Arjuna to whom all the kings offered their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them at a moment's notice have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land.
Yeah, purport is very important. Read the purport.
Purport. As we have discussed more than once, one should not be puffed up by borrowed plumes. All energies and powers are derived from the supreme source, Lord Krishna, and they act as long as he desires and cease to function as soon as he withdraws. All electrical energies are received from the powerhouse, and as soon as the powerhouse stops supplying energy, the bulbs are of no use. In a moment's time, such energies can be generated or withdrawn by the supreme will of the Lord. Material civilization without the blessing of the Lord is child's play only. As long as the parents allow the child to play, it is all right. As soon as the parents withdraw the child has to stop. Human civilization and all activities thereof must be dovetailed with the supreme blessing of the Lord. And without this blessing, all advancement of human civilization is like decoration on a dead body. It is said here that a dead civilization and its activities are something like clarified butter on ashes, the accumulation of money by a magic wand, and the sowing of seeds in barren land.
So, you know, there is one famous verse in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Please repeat this. Tasmat pamuttishtha yasholabhasva jitva shatrun bhungshva rajyam samriddham మయైవ ఏతే నిహితాః పూర్వమేవ నిమిత్తమాత్రం భవ సవ్యసాచిన్. సో దిస్ వాజ్ ఈ సెయింగ్, తస్మాత్మం ఉత్తిష్ట యశో లభస్వ. మై డియర్ అర్జున, గెట్ అప్, ఫైట్ ద బ్యాటిల్ అండ్ యూ టేక్ ద క్రెడిట్ ఆఫ్ విన్నింగ్ దిస్ బ్యాటిల్. ఈ సెయింగ్, బట్ ఫర్ యువర్ కైండ్ ఇన్ఫర్మేషన్, ఆల్ ది సోల్జర్స్ ఆన్ ద ఆపోజిట్ సైడ్ లైక్ దుర్యోధన, దుశ్శాసన, యునో ఆల్ ది జయద్రథ, దేవర్ ఆల్ ఆల్రెడీ they all have been killed by me. Mayaiva, maya eva, through me only, yete, all these fellows, he says, nihitaha, killed. When? Purvameva, he's saying. Purvameva, before only I have killed them. You don't believe me in what I am saying? Look at my Vishwarupa form. In this form, some of the faces are, you know, emanating fire. Some of the faces are swallowing Jayadratha and Drona and, you know, different warriors on the opposite side. Look at this. This is a Kala Rupam. I am already swallowing them. I already killed them all. And then he's saying, Mayaivete nihita purumeva nimitta matram. You only become a nimitta and just you kill them and you take the credit. People will think that you have done the job. So you do it, no problem. Which means I will kill the snake and you are allowed to come with a stick and beat the dead snake. That's all you have to do. Very easy job. And if you don't agree to cooperate with me, then move aside, I will put another person here. I will put Yudhishthira or I will put Bhima or somebody else. Somebody else will do the job. Somebody has to agree to become the instrument, he said. So this is a very deep lesson and very vital lesson for all of us as preachers and practitioners. Like, you know, Prithivite Achyadi Nagaradigram Sarvatra Pachar Hoibhumaranam. So already Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told that in every town and village's name will be chanted. You find, you know, people from Paris, people from Europe, people from, I mean, America and Canada, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadha Sadi Gauru Bhakta Vrinda, everybody is reciting. And there are Gaur Nithai deities all over the world. Even Indian may not know who is Gaur Nithai, but Westerners are knowing who is Gaur Nithai, they know. And they carry Gaur Nithai in the carts and they are experiencing the mercy of Gaur Nithai, even in the Western world. So that is already becoming true, and so we have to join this mission and do whatever we are told to do by the acharyas in the line. Correct, no? If you just do, when the glory comes, credit comes, you will also be included as a part of it, having done it. Although we play very little role, correct, no? In this vast oceanic movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu says, if you don't want to be a part of this, then you may move aside, somebody else takes the credit. Therefore, he's saying, Yasho Labhasva is telling, you take the credit. I will do the job and you take the credit, Krishna is telling. By becoming instrument. So therefore, you will see, just like if you somebody batters the door in your house. They batter the door. When you open the door, what do you say? Who opened the door? Say, for example, you say, Hemant Prabhu opened the door. So you don't say, do you ever say Hemant Prabhu's right hand opened the door? Do you say Hemant Prabhu's right hand, the Sambodhan finger and the thumb, together they opened the door? Do you say like that? What do you say? You tell the name of the person who opened the door, correct? No? Similarly, ultimately Krishna is the doer. So if you want, you can say Krishna's right hand. So in the same manner, we can say that, you know, somebody in Krishna's movement spreaded the holy name around the world, we say. And that moment, we may say, these two fellows went to that place and started, correct, no? Because ultimately, everybody is empowered by him only. Like that he is telling. Very amazing. We have to very attentively see how we act as very insignificant instruments in this movement. But this movement is like a fastly flowing current of river. You have to just jump into this river and you will also go back to the ocean of love of God, to the spiritual world. But while jumping, take some 20 boys with you and jump along with them. So you will also swim and they will also swim and you will reach the ocean of Rabadi. Yeah. Eventually you will reach where you can be like sharks, jumping up and down, drinking some Rabadi in between. You can enjoy the spiritual world. So no one can take the credit that I am delivering all these boys whom I am preaching to, correct? No? Because the river is carrying the river current of desire of Lord Chaitanya and desire of acharyas, that is carrying us. So what he says? He says, just labhasva, yasho labhasva, you take the credit. Because, you know, we do little service and we get too much of credit for that, because the movement is set in motion. It's in inertia already, it's in movement. Like sometimes you are in a bike, you know, you catch a lorry, correct, no? Then you also go at what speed? Lorry speed, you go, correct, no? Similarly, acharya's desire is that you hook with it. Then we also flow and we are wondering how wonderful things are happening. You have to just flow with that desire. Keep on doing it and then miraculous things will happen. Many, many people say, you know, oh, you people had a small temple in camp. Itna bada mandir aa gaya idhar. Kaisa aaya? Actually, and all the congregation, brahmacharis, everybody, boys, just you fall and everybody, you flow with the wind of the acharya's desire. Then this is not a very big thing. It's a temple. But then this temple can be like a battalion, from where hundreds and thousands of devotees can come out and they can go to nook and corner and preach and expand the movement so much. So you will see that what has happened in the recent past in ISKCON is very amazing. Many, many temples have come in India. You see, in Kargar, one big temple is coming. Similarly, there is one big temple in Chennai which has come. Jagopinath Prabhu is in Chennai. There is a beautiful temple. Similarly, we have, which is the other new temple which came recently? Noida temple was opened. Yeah. And then? Kanpur, 14-acre land. It's a big temple. It's the biggest temple in Asia. So much land we don't have, 14-acre land for a temple. Next to Mayapur. Yeah. So in this way, many, many temples are springing up. Because these temples are all actually like lighthouses to distribute knowledge. And they are all actually cropping up to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So this can give us an indication. Jag jao, ud jao, sohomath. Because boom, boom, things are popping up, correct, no? Like, you know, in our movement, in Prabhupada's times, many Indians were very dull. Only the business people, the two senior citizens were coming up, becoming life members. So Prabhupada was always lamenting that we have to get educated Indian boys. There were only a handful of people like Lokanath Maharaj type of Indian boys coming forward to join this movement. Majority you will see in photos in Juhu also everywhere. There were many Westerners were there. People like Bhakti Charaswami Maharaj and as well as Lokanath Swami Maharaj. Such people are very rare. Indian-bodied people becoming devotees in India, in Prabhupada's times. So Prabhupada had a desire that Indians should understand this philosophy. Huh? And once he understands, he captures it, then he can do so much good for the whole world. Huh? And so Prabhupada desired, and now you can see, in the last few decades, so many educated people have joined this movement. And Gauranga Prabhu recently was telling, oh, it's very frightening, seeing so many shaven heads of graduates and degree holders. In logon ko shant aur santushta kaise rakha jaye? In those days, when very simple people would join, you know, just give them some prasad, you know, worship the Lord and do the cleaning and then take care of the ashram, live in the temple, do some book distribution, they were peaceful. Now all big, big fellows, very intellectual fellows are coming. Huh? Highly educated fellows with big, big degrees, they are throwing away IT companies and coming and joining temple. Huh? So he was telling, actually this is how Lord Chaitanya's dream is becoming true. Huh? So one has to... So Lord told Arjuna that you align with my vision. Similarly, we have to align with Lord Chaitanya's and Acharya's vision. And we will be carried by it. So that is the point. So in this way, he is remembering intimate moments. And see, 24 to 31 is last. Okay. Lord's instructions. This is a very important thing. When one is weeping, three things... He was weeping for. One was, first he felt that universe is like lifeless without Krishna, feeling separation from Krishna, correct, no? That is the first part. Then he was remembering the favors he received from Krishna. Then later on, the intimate exchanges he had with Krishna. Correct, in 11th chapter of Gita also one intimate shloka is there. What is it? Ajanata mahama mahimanam tavedam. What is it verse? How it begins? Ajanata mahimanam tavedam saketi matva prasabham yaduktam he krishna he yadava he saketi ajanata mahimanam tavedam maya pramadat pranaye navapi. He said that saketi matva, main tumko sakha maankar alag alag namo se pukara, he krishna he yadava he sakha karke. I called you with so many different names, playfully. I pulled your leg in kabaddi kabaddi. You know, I have joked with you, played with you. We have eaten together, swim together, slept together. In this way, we have been friends. But suddenly, now you are showing such a Vishwarup darshan. Why, you never told me about this, that you have such a stock of so many millions of heads, millions of legs, millions of hands. Who are you? I never knew. So I am offering your businesses from north, east, west, south, all directions. Forgive me, don't become upset with me like that. So in this way, he was remembering intimate moments there also with Krishna. Here also many multiple intimate moments remembering. And finally now, when he is feeling a pinch of separation, he wants to see Krishna, he wants to touch Krishna, he wants to be with Krishna, play with Krishna again. When will those intimate moments come again in my life? When he's thinking like this, he gets one idea. What is that idea? See the 24th verse. Read the translation. 24th.
Actually, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Sometimes people kill one another, and at other times they protect one another.
Yeah, and then he's talking about the 25, 26, the Yadus killing one another. Actually, there are six reasons Acharyas have given for why the Yadus fought with one another like this and they left their bodies. So in the 11th canto, first chapter, you find all this. The curse upon Yadu dynasty is beautifully explained. In the 'Cause I had put it all up in one place somewhere, and I don't know where is the secret place I have written it. But whatever comes to my mind, I can tell you briefly. But I won't tell you very elaborately. Why the Yadus destroyed one another? The reason is, you see, in Krishna's times, some Yadus were actually from the demigods, from the upper planetary system. They had come down and they had become Yadus. And some Yadus had come from the spiritual world, Dwaraka, spiritual Dwaraka. So the spiritual world descendants were completely pure. But the demigod descendants were having mixed, you know, type of mentality. Some amount of alloy was there in them. But they were also behaving like Yadus. Just like you all know, when Lord Rama came, he told many demigods to become monkeys. Correct, no? See, they all joined. Like that, some demigods also joined. So what was happening in Krishna's time? Some of these Yadus, they were independently behaving. They actually were afflicted by a tinge of pride, and they considered themselves equal to Krishna, and they thought that they can act independent of Krishna. But they were extremely mighty and powerful Yadus, warriors. And Krishna thought that if I leave this world and go back to my abode, these fellows will become a thorn for the world, and they can create trouble for the other rest of the world. So that was one thing he contemplated. Another thing is said that some of the purer Yadus, who are directly from the spiritual world, they won't do any harm to the other living beings, but they would trample upon the earth in great agony that our Lord has left us and gone. So they have to return back to the spiritual abode to continue to maintain their relationship with Krishna and not get separated. So you understand the two different things. The demigod components, those who had, they would trample upon the earth and cause problems to the other living entities due to their having alloy of material tinge. So they may try to lord over the world because right now they imagine themselves to be equal to Krishna, and they were behaving independent of Krishna, and they would misrepresent Krishna. This was one of Krishna's concerns. And another concern is to leave behind the Yadus from directly from the spiritual world, who would feel a pinch of separation from Krishna after he left. So due to that pinch, they would weep, they would cry, they would trample upon the earth, and they can, that kind of their intolerable separation can cause also harm to the earth. So Krishna contemplated on this. And Krishna also wanted to teach one more thing, viprashapa vimudhanam. The vipras should be treated with great respect. So Narada Muni himself was personally present in the assembly of sages in the mandapam when Samba went and went with a pillow in his belly, you know, covered by his friends, and they all joked. They were all giggling and laughing with artificial humility. They went and approached the sages and said, "Oh sages, can you please tell us, you are all great souls, you are Trikala Jnani, you know past, present and future. Can you say that Samba will beget a female or a male child?" So they wanted to joke and find out whether sages know about it. And then the sages said, "He will get an iron rod as his child." So Krishna wanted to show the world how the great souls should not be mistreated or disrespected. If somebody does it, they will, by viprashap, they will get vimudhanam. So this is one lesson, another lesson that he wanted to teach. And another thing is, Lord thought that when I wind up my whole Yadu dynasty and take them back to Godhead, the earth will be free and my associates will not be bereft of my Sangha association. So these are a few I told you. There are 2-3 more like this, which are given in 11.1. If you read the purport, Bhaksan Sitakur's purport, Jiva Goswami's purport is also there in the same book. It's given very nicely. So now here he is telling about the Yadu dynasty wiping out, and then so all that is telling, and then this 27th verse is the most important thing. He is telling about Deshakalartha Yuktani Hrittapopashamanicha Haranti Smaratas Chittam Govindabhihitani Me Deshakalartha Yuktani Hrittapopashamanicha Haranti smaratas chittam Govindabhihitani me. Read the translation.
Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space.
See, this is such an important lesson for us. We are all having the Bhagavad Gita book with us. Now, who is reading Bhagavad Gita book now? Arjuna is reading. Although he heard Bhagavad Gita personally from Krishna, now he thought that, let me revise that instruction again. I have personal experience that when I read Bhagavatam, after 4 or 5 years, when I come back to some old sections and I read, they again have a lot of juice when I read the purports of Prabhupada, because they are very enlivening and they were thrillers. So that is the beauty of spiritual subject. You can again and again read them, recite them hundreds or thousands of times, and remember them, repeat them, read them again. So because of that intimate friendship of Krishna, he wanted to find out, where can I see Krishna eye to eye? Where can I feel a very intimate presence with him? So when he thought like this, then he thought, let me go through his instructions he gave me in Bhagavad Gita. Now by remembering those instructions, he became again very intimate with Krishna. So here comes an important point. Prabhupada, how did he connect with his guru? He took Diksha in 33, correct, no? He met Prabhupada, met his guru in 22, correct, no? First time. So first time he met his guru, what he got? He got two instructions. That instruction to preach in the Western world, in English language. And 33 he took Diksha, correct, no? And then he wrote a letter to his guru in 1936, 3 years after initiation. He wrote a letter asking, you know, how can I serve you? And this was only 2 or 3 weeks before Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur left the planet. And he replied to him with a letter saying that, why don't you preach this message of the Lord Chaitanya in the English language to the people of the West? Same thing. So Prabhupada said it's doubly confirmed now. He told in 22 and now in 36 he says the same thing. So this is what my guru wants me to do. So later on he went to the West. Prabhupada established ISKCON and BBT to fulfill the two instructions he got. One, ISKCON established to preach in the West, and BBT, where the instruction he got in the bank of Radhakund. If you ever get money, print books. So you can imagine how Prabhupada fulfilled these two instructions, and that made him feel intimate with his guru. So for us also in our lives, we can feel intimacy with our superior, with our spiritual master, with Krishna, all of them, when we take their instruction very seriously. That is where the relationship lies. So the spiritual master lives in his sound, and the follower lives with him. It says like that. So the guru lives in his sound. And if you faithfully follow his sound instruction that he has given, then we also live with him. Because when you practice the instruction, you will remember that he said this. He loves this. He wants me to do this. And he'll be satisfied if I do this. And I'll be with him if I do this. And I will never be separated from him if I do this. So like Prabhupada told the devotees in the West when he was coming to India, they all cried out. And Prabhupada said, see, you chant Hare Krishna here, and I will chant Hare Krishna there. So the Hare Krishna mantra will keep us together. Like that he said. So the sound ties up together. Similarly, Arjuna also thought, now by remembering Krishna's instructions, I can again see the presence of Krishna in that instruction. Yeah. That's all now. The 28th verse we have come now. So what are the Phalashruti? What are the benefits of remembering Krishna and Bhagavad Gita? Sutabhuvacha evam chintayato jishnoh Krishna pada saroruham sauhardena atigadhena shanta siddhimala matihi. Yeah, translation.
Sut Goswami said, thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination.
Yeah. Deeply absorbed in thinking of Krishna's instructions. That was, actually Krishna told him, you are my very intimate friend. Bhaktosi me sakacheti, he said. Another place he says that, sarva gukhyatamam bhuyaha, shrunume paramam bachaha, ishtosime means you are very dear to me. Dridhamiti, dridham ishta means you are very firmly my intimate friend. idam vakshami te hitam, tumhari bhalai ke liye main bol raha hu, like that Krishna is. So they were all very intimately instructed to Arjuna. So he was, while thinking of Krishna's instruction, he also thought of his lotus feet also, at the same time. So then his mind became pacified and free from material contamination. And then 29 says, Vasudevangre anujnana paribrahm hitaram hasa bhaktya nirmatita shesha Translation?
Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion. And as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided.
Amazing. His heart became completely cleansed. That means shoka, moha, bhaya, everything went away. And then he says next translation.
Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case. And again, he became lord of his senses.
Next one, 31.
Because of his possessing spiritual assets, the doubts of duality were completely cut off. Thus, he was freed from three modes of material nature and placed in transcendence. There was no longer any chance of becoming entangled in his birth and death, for he was freed from material form.
Next one, 32.
Upon hearing Lord Krishna's returning to his abode and upon understanding the end of Yadu dynasty's earthly manifestation, Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to go back home, back to Godhead.
Yeah. So, if you see this, you see the slide here. So, we have completed up to 6 we have completed. And lessons from the retirement of Yudhishthira. And then there is one last one. Everyone has to fly their own plane. So, this I will do tomorrow. Shri Prabhupada ki. और भक्तवृंदा की